Second hour of Sports Call starts right now on Tiger 95.9 FM and AM 620 WTRP in LaGrange. JJ Jackson, Trevon Reed, Javon Cutler, Ryan LaVoy, all inside our studios here on South College Street. Hope that everybody is doing well on this Tuesday. Want to let you know that all of our Sports Call callers and guests join us on the Auburn Bank phone line. Auburn Bank has been your hometown bank for over 110 years. Visit them online at auburnbank.com for more information. Your partner, your neighbor, your friend, member FDIC, equal housing lender, 887-3401 locally, toll-free 1-888-9-TIGER-9. Auburn Bank, our proud sponsor of the Sports Call phone line, and we will use that phone line right now to catch up with one of our friends. He's become a friend of the program over the past few years, talking all things Ole Miss. It's Neil McCready from RebelGrove.com. Neil, it's been a little bit. How are things in your world?
JJ, I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you so much for asking. How much have you enjoyed watching football being back over these past 4 weeks, Neil?
It's been great to have it back on a number of levels. I'd be lying if I said it first and foremost. It wasn't great just to have it back because you, it's better than being unemployed. I mean, Ole Miss was one of the few basketball teams that actually finished their season. You know, they played that first night in the SEC tournament, lost to Georgia. So their season ended in a traditional manner. But from that point until they played the opener against Florida, I guess, what was that, on the 26th? Mm-hmm. That was like it was for everybody else. I mean, you know, 6-7 months of covering college sports where there are no college sports, you had to get pretty creative. And I took it on. I've written more about the pandemic and all of that than probably a whole lot of people in the Rivals Network or around. I just thought there's no point in not writing about what the news is. And there was a period there where I certainly thought it was a likelihood that we weren't going to have a college football season. And that was a pretty sobering moment from, you know, professionally. But yeah, so it's been great to see games and to look like we're going to actually get to the finish line, and then hopefully moving forward, we're going to resume some form of normalcy at some point.
What number season is this covering the Rebels football for you, Neil?
Shoo. And I would never have believed that I would say this number, JJ. This is my 13th season covering
Wow.
Ole Miss. We moved here from Mobile in 2008. And I figured we would be here a couple of years. And when we moved here, you know, our kids were, let's see, Campbell was a second grader and Caroline was in kindergarten. And my little boy was just like a year old. And you know, and it turned out to be a great place to raise kids. And it's a great school system. And before you know it, you know, your kids are involved and you hate to move them away from their friends.
Sure.
And then another year passes. And I never thought we would be here this long, but we've been here a long time, and now Campbell's at University of Arkansas, and Caroline's about to graduate high school, and Carson's about to start high school. It's crazy how time flies. Unbelievable.
No doubt about that, and it's 13 seasons for you covering Ole Miss football, and you start year 13 with a new head coach in Lane Kiffin. I would imagine not getting to go through spring football as a reporter, when you do get the opportunity to kind of get to know a coach and that sort of thing, the in and outs and whatnot, what has it been like covering Lane Kiffin so far in 2020?
Bizarre, not his fault. You know, just in general, there is no personal interaction. You know, it's just Zoom.
Right.
So we don't know, you know, he doesn't know the people who are covering him. We don't know him. And then look, And I know this is something that people would tell you shouldn't say out loud, but I'm a pretty much tell it like it is guy. Lane Kiffin doesn't need local media. He's not like Aliyah Drinkwitz or Sam Pittman.
Sure.
Or some of the other new coaches. I mean, and I don't mean that as a criticism of those people. I just mean Lane Kiffin can get on the Dan Patrick Show. Lane Kiffin can get on Barstool Sports. You know, he can get on those kinds of shows that have massive reach. And because of his personality and because of his social media presence, he doesn't need local media at all. Now, there might come a day where he does, but he doesn't right now. There's no reason for Lane Kiffin to spend 20 minutes talking to me when he could spend that 20 minutes talking to Dan Patrick or to Big Cat on Barstool or Dave Portnoy or something like that. I mean, you know, he can do the Dan Le Batard show. It's a completely different deal. You know, if he's going to spend 20 minutes talking to a media member, is it going to be me or Andy Staples? It's easy. So it's Staples, and so we don't have that kind of access with them. We just get him on after games. We get him on Monday. We'll get him for a few minutes tomorrow, and it's all on Zoom. So it's been a really kind of a bizarre way to, you know, get to know, if you will, a coach that you're covering. But his persona is just such that he has such a national appeal. You know, it's funny. So Ole Miss opens the season on the 26th. Ole Miss was 4-8 last year. They were horrible. They weren't. They were boring. There was nothing about Ole Miss football that was remotely interesting whatsoever, besides maybe John Rhys Plumlee could play the piano. It was literally about the most interesting thing with Ole Miss football a year ago. And here you are in the first block of ESPN College Game Day, which, whatever you think of that show, it is the seminal show for college football. And there's Lane Kiffin. And it's like, wow. I mean, this guy, he's on the map. So he sort of dragged Ole Miss football onto the map with him. And so covering him is different in that regard. It's to say that going from Matt Luke to Lane Kiffin is night and day is just an understatement.
And Neil, so let's talk about Lane through the first four games on the field. What have you seen? I know obviously a lot of people talking about how the defense has been, which has been less than ideal, but the offense has been very explosive aside from the interception fest in Fayetteville. I mean, what all have you taken away from these first four games for Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss?
Yeah, well, their first four games, what you see with them is, you know, Kiffin has this reputation for being a great play caller, for really simplifying things for quarterbacks, and I've seen that. I mean, you know, what he's done with Matt Corral, even including the fourth game, is really remarkable. This is a kid that had lost his job to Plumlee a year ago, really probably unfairly, and had lost his confidence, was going to transfer. He gets him to stay. Then the pandemic hits, so there's no spring. There's no traditional offseason like there's for anybody else. But he was magnificent for three games. He was very good against Florida. He's the reason they beat Kentucky. And look, I mean, you know, no matter how fluky people think it is, with 10 minutes to go, they're tied with Alabama 42-42, down 49-42, and it was a bad snap away from being 49-49 with 6 minutes to go or whatever. Don't get me wrong, Alabama's significantly better than Ole Miss, but the scoreboard is what the scoreboard is. So they were really good defensively. For as good as they were on offense, they were that bad on defense. They couldn't stop anything at all. Kentucky ran for 408 yards. Ran for 408 yards. You know, so then last week, they flip-flopped. Defensively, they were okay against Arkansas. The scoreboard reads 33 points, but 14 of those came on pick sixes. They held Arkansas to 19 points. They were pretty good against Arkansas's run. Franks had an okay game against them, but he didn't just kill them. He didn't slice them up. And then offensively, they were awful. Barry Odom had a great plan, and he dropped eight into coverage, and they only brought three. And they dared Ole Miss to dump it off to the backs and to nickel and dime it up the field. And, you know, I think Corral had a lot of success down the field in the first three games. And I think maybe he got a little cocky. Maybe he got a little full of himself. He took some chances, and he threw into traffic, and he tried to fool, you know, linebackers or safeties with his eyes, and it didn't work, and he ended up throwing back and not seeing somebody. And Ole Miss, for whatever reason, whether it was Corral just didn't do it or whether Ole Miss's offensive staff couldn't figure it out in time, they just never really adjusted to what Arkansas was trying to do against them. They had 460 yards-ish of offense, but they had six interceptions, and then what got overshadowed, even with the six interceptions, they had two possessions that ended at the one-yard line. So you had two red zone opportunities that they came away completely empty. It was not the best coached game I've ever seen. It was certainly not the best quarterback game I've ever seen. So yet they have some confidence now on the defensive side. So their challenge, and Kiffin has talked about this for a while now, is, you know, can you put it together in a game? Can you put a good offensive game with a good defensive game? And if they're going to have any opportunity to beat Auburn or beat South Carolina, some of the teams that are coming up on their schedule, they'll have to do that. They They can't do the one-dimensional thing, one side of the ball thing, and beat good teams in this league. It just doesn't happen.
Neil, switching sides over to that defense that you were just talking about. Of course, hasn't been a great bright spot for this team this year, but which players have stepped up to you that have made leaps from last year into this year?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say. Nobody consistently. They got a really good game Saturday in Fayetteville out of Ryder Anderson, played well. Defensive lineman who's been kind of up and down. They had to move him in some last week because they had some COVID issues on defense last week. They played without two starters. Jalen Jordan, young cornerback, kind of playing a little bit of a nickelback spot for them. He had 11 tackles, was kind of all over the field, really played well. They got a better game out of Momo Sanogo, their veteran linebacker. But, look, they've been – when you give up 723 yards to Alabama and 641 yards to Florida and 408 yards on the ground to Kentucky, that not smart-ass answer to your question is nobody's played well. Nobody's stepped up. They had a better game Saturday. They were more sound. They were in their gaps. They did some of those things. I thought they tackled better. But, look, Ole Miss left points on the board. So did Arkansas. You know, I mean, Arkansas had a possession there near the end where they had a third down and they called a screen and Franks threw a pass to Boyd. And if he catches the ball, guys, he's running all the way to Fort Smith. And, you know, he dropped it. That's points left on the board. I mean, Arkansas made mistakes too. So it was an improved defensive effort, but I'd be lying to you if I sat here and told you that I watched that and thought they fixed everything. There's still a lot of improvement that they'll have to figure out defensively.
Before we get your prediction on this Auburn and Ole Miss game, Neil, I was thinking about this the other day and the improvements that Lane Kiffin has already made to this offense and to Matt Corral being a very dynamic offense thus far. And I was just watching the NFL and I was thinking, man, if DK Metcalf and AJ Brown were being coached by Lane Kiffin, if he had those two guys, because no disrespect to Elijah Moore, because he's a really good wide receiver as well. Their tight end's been very good. But I was just thinking, man, if Kiffin had Metcalf and Brown, what in the world kind of numbers would they be putting up?
Well, and Elijah was a freshman with those guys. And the tight end on that team, Dawson Knox, is the starting tight end for the Buffalo Bills right now. I mean, there was a lot of talent on that
loaded
team. Greg Little's with the Panthers. That they were loaded, man, on the offensive side. They had more talent than people realized they had. And the scheme that they ran was just incredibly elementary. And Jordan Tomu, the quarterback, he's on the Chiefs roster. I mean, he's not Patrick Mahomes, don't get me wrong, but, I mean, it wasn't like he was a chump. It was bizarre. That remains to this day one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen, because DK Metcalf and AJ Brown, guys, they're studs. I mean, I saw them both in high school, and they were both just phenomenal players. Yeah, I mean, if Kiffin had guys like that, woof, look out. I mean, his ability to spread the ball and the way they use Kenny Yeboah now and Jonathan Mingo now, I mean, I mean, look at what he did with that at Alabama when he had, you know, with Derrick Henry, and then he had the receiver whose name's escaping me. I mean, they put up big time numbers when he was at Alabama, and he did stuff at FAU. His ability to use offensive weapons that he has at his disposal is really kind of unquestioned.
Amari Cooper, I think, is who you're trying to think of, right?
Amari Cooper, yeah. I mean, they turned Amari Cooper into the — and look, don't get me wrong, he's an incredible player, but I mean, you know, he was SEC Player of the Year.
Right.
They just said, hey, we're going to build our offense around him. I mean, that's what he does really well.
Talking with Neil McCready of RebelGrove.com. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Neil McCready, who will have great coverage throughout the Auburn and Ole Miss game. All right, before we let you get out of here, what ultimately do you think happens on Saturday in Oxford?
Oh, I think Auburn wins and covers. I know they've had some weird stuff, and they had a weird game against Arkansas, and they should have lost, frankly. I think you guys probably agree.
Right.
And, and then they had a game in South Carolina the other day that I didn't think Auburn looked very good. I thought Auburn looked like there were some issues, maybe nothing bad, but they didn't look like a particularly happy football team. But I still think they have too much talent for Ole Miss. Now, is this a winnable game for Ole Miss? Yeah, it is, because Ole Miss's offense is, it can be electric. and they can be really good, and they can put points on the board. And I think if they jump ahead of Auburn and force Auburn to play catch-up, that's their recipe for winning the game. But look, I'm not convinced that Ole Miss can stop a balanced offense. And I know Nix hasn't had a great season. I know that he hasn't made the strides that Auburn wanted him to make yet. But, you know, Williams is an elite receiver. They've got good backs. They're not as good up front as I thought they might be, but Ole Miss struggles on the defensive line. And then I still think Auburn is good enough defensively to maybe hold Ole Miss into the high 20s. And I think Auburn can get into the 30s. I think it's a close game. I think the line's like 3.5. And frankly, I think the line's about right. I think Auburn's a 4-6 point winner on Saturday. That's kind of my gut feeling.
We mentioned you earlier on Twitter at SportsCallAU. And again, follow Neil on Twitter at Neil McCready. We've got a little throwback photo of you there at Wrigley Field donning the Cubs hat. Yeah. What do the Cubs seasons look like in 2021, Neil?
I don't know, man. I think all of Major League Baseball is going to be crazy because no one can promise these owners that you're going to be able to fill your stadiums.
Right.
So if you have to socially distance your stadiums or worse, you just took a bath. Are you going to take another bath? I mean, what does that mean for a team like the Cubs that have all these expiring contracts and guys that, you know, they could non-tender who a year ago they would have never considered, for example, non-tendering Anthony Rizzo or non-tendering Kyle Schwarber? I think you're going to see that all over baseball, where I think a lot of guys around baseball are going to have to take massive pay cuts, take a one-year deal, and hope that the game gets back to its financial health. Because right now, I mean, if you're a Major League Baseball team, how do you give a massive contract today when you don't know, when there's nothing but unknowns about when can you fill up a stadium? It's the same thing with college football, right, where people are talking about, hey, we're going to fire this coach, we're going to fire this coach, we're going to fire this coach. Well, if you're Auburn, for example, I'm not picking on Gus Malzahn or Auburn, but
right.
In a normal year, you're putting, what, 82, 84, 86,000 people in Jordan Hare. Well, you're not doing that this year, and you don't know for sure, because of how scared everybody is, you don't know for sure that you can do that next year. Well, that unknown is financially scary. You know, it'd be like you're making your budget, right? And you're saying, okay, well, I think this year I'm going to make $100,000. And someone says, well, there's a chance you don't make but $40,000. Well, you're going to build your budget closer to 40 than you are 100. And so I think that's where kind of things are. I miss it, man. This is the first year I haven't been to a game at Wrigley since, I bet it's been 20 years. It was depressing. I mean, I'm one of those people that my fandom for the Cubs is so strong that I have no emotional capacity for anything else. And it was difficult to not be able to go to a game and take my son to a game and stuff that we've done for years. And I just hope we get to do it again sometime soon.
No doubt about that. We've also always enjoyed chatting NBA with you, Neil, over the years. I've got one quick one for you before we let you go. We talked about this in hour number one of the show today. Have you seen, by chance, the synopsis of Space Jam 2 with LeBron James?
No, I have not.
It's quite funny. Before hearing the synopsis, were you going to be in on Space Jam 2?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I would watch it, yeah.
Let me read this for you then. During a trip to the Warner Brothers studio, superstar LeBron James and his son accidentally get trapped within a world that contains all of Warner Brothers' stories and characters under the control of a malfunctioning, all-powerful force named Al G, played by Don Cheadle. And with the help of Bugs Bunny, LeBron must navigate through a never-before-imagined world filled with iconic movie scenes and characters as they reassemble the Looney Tunes to rescue his lost son. Now, to get back home, LeBron and the Toons have to unravel Al G's mysterious plan and win an epic basketball game against digital gamified superversions of the NBA and WNBA's biggest star as the entire world watches. Neil McCready says what?
I mean, I've wasted 2 hours of my life on worse.
The best answer, Neil. We can let you go on that. I'm so excited.
I'll give it a shot. Yeah, for sure.
Neil, let our listeners know what they can expect from you and the rest of your team as we get set for Auburn and Ole Miss before we let you get out of here.
Yeah, we'll just have coverage throughout the week, notebooks and stories, and we'll have prediction pieces, and we get a little silly by the end of the week. We're probably not quite as serious, hardcore as some of the other sites out there, but we'll have a lot of content to you over the course of the next few days, and then we'll cover as much as you can with the football game by Zoom. But we'll have We'll have all day coverage on our YouTube channel, by the way. We'll have a pregame show. Okay. We'll have a watch party during the game, postgame show that sometimes gets a little inebriated. So there's a lot there. Come join us.
Awesome. Thanks for the time, Neil. We'll talk again soon, okay?
All right, JJ. Be good.